This episode is sponsored by Bonterra. Bonterra is a social goods software company focused on powering those who power social impact with best-in-class fundraising, engagement, program management, and CSR solutions. By bringing together intuitive technology and social impact expertise, Bonterra enables unmatched connectivity between organizations and their communities of supporters and constituents, ultimately creating more ways for social good organizations to maximize their impact. To learn more about selecting the right tech for your nonprofit, go to www.jcsocialmarketing.com/Bonterra. That's jcsocialmarketing.com/BONTERRA. Thanks, and on to the episode.
Hello, and welcome to Nonprofit Nation. I'm your host, Julia Campbell, and I'm going to sit down with nonprofit industry experts, fundraisers, marketers, and everyone in between to get real and discuss what it takes to build that movement that you've been dreaming of. I created the Nonprofit Nation podcast to share practical wisdom and strategies to help you confidently find your voice, definitively grow your audience, and effectively build your movement. If you're a nonprofit newbie or an experienced professional who's looking to get more visibility, reach more people, and create even more impact, then you're in the right place. Let's get started.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Nonprofit Nation. Really happy to be here with you today, wherever you're listening. I'm Julia Campbell, and our topic today, member mobilization strategies of a transformative nonprofit. Now, with a membership that just hit 1 million women and an ambitious mission to increase life expectancy by 10 years in 10 years' time, Girl Trek has become a driving force in improving the lives and well-being of Black women across the United States. And they do this through national awareness campaigns where they inspire women to start a simple daily habit of walking at least 30 minutes per day. But that's not all. Girl Trek then trains these women to be organizers in their own communities. And with such an engaged and motivated membership, I wanted to know how Girl Trek uses technology to manage all the moving pieces, how they transform regular walkers into these health activists and organizers. My guests today, Chyna Johnson and Marcy Thomas. Chyna Johnson serves as the Director of Impact and Innovation at Girl Trek. She joined Girl Trek in 2017 as a 2017 Summer Fellow while completing her graduate degree at Tulane School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine. In her role as a summer fellow, Chyna worked on the planning and execution of Girl Trek's annual national church walking challenge, Prayer Trek. And today she's responsible for the overall data and impact management of the organization. Marcy Thomas is the director of digital engagement, where she manages the social media spaces and supports the storytelling team. Before joining this team, she worked in the automotive, food packaging, and insurance industries, and she continues to serve as the founder and leader of Brown Girl Collective, a digital space for Black women. And both of you have such fantastic bios, but that's just sort of a little taste of all the amazing things that you've been doing. So welcome to the podcast. I'm so happy to have you both here.
Thank you for having us, Julie.
Thank you so much.
So I think, Marcy, maybe I'll start with you. Tell me about Girl Trek and what makes it unique.
I think the thing that makes Girl Trek so unique is the fact that it started with two friends who had an idea about improving their own lives and saving their own lives, using Harriet Tubman as kind of their guiding star towards saving themselves and then taking Harriet's concept of saving herself first and then going to save others. So with two friends, Morgan Dixon and Vanessa Garrison, they started just by getting their friends and family to get out and walk with them, developing different challenges. And then over the years, it's one of those things where you tell two friends and they tell two friends and they tell two friends to the point of now, as you mentioned, we are at over 1 million women walking for the purpose of saving our lives.
Oh, wow. I really love that. I love that it's a very simple but powerful concept. So it's very easy for people to understand, like, okay, walking 30 minutes a day. It's not like, let's do a marathon. So like, let's do a 5K, which my friend is trying to get me to do. And I'm like, can I just walk 30 minutes a day? That sounds a little more manageable. So how many events do you organize per year?
So last year we organized about more than 1,000 events. And then this year we've had a summer called Summer of Radical Welcome. So we're asking our organizers to host welcome walks to really welcome women into the community. And we've had over 500 events with more than 4,000 registrants.
That's amazing. So with all of these different events that are national and all of these different registrants, China, maybe you can tell us how you leverage technology and how does technology factor into this member mobilization?
Yeah, it's a great question. So here at Girl Trek, we've been able to utilize a technology called Mobilize. That's really an event and organizing software that's allowed us to really centralize some of that and streamline some of those events that are going on all across the nation. And so for us, that's really meant empowering our organizers with this tool. Last year, we had 100 organizers that we actually hired on part-time, and they were regional and state coaches. And so really allowed us to centralize this distributed grassroots model. And we really trained them. We spent a lot of time training them on the software, and they then carried on that knowledge throughout these neighborhoods. This year, we're doing it a little bit differently, and we've really opened up the opportunity for women on the ground to utilize, mobilize, and host their own walks all across the nation. And we focus on certain Saturdays. So we have welcome walks and sisterhood Saturdays. We're really focused on engaging women, bringing new women into the movement, and creating some of that behavior change. Because ultimately, we are a health justice movement, and we're focused on women's health and wellness. And so Mobilize has allowed us to do that.
So maybe just to expand on this, China, for nonprofits that are in the same boat with a lot of data coming at them from a lot of different places, like, where should they start organizing it?
Yeah, I would say for me, some of the things that we really looked at were, what data are you collecting and why? So what are you trying to get? Why are you trying to get it? Data for data's sake is not an approach that we use. We want to make sure that whatever data we have coming in is useful. It can be a resource instead of being a distraction from the information that really matters and the information that can really power your movement. I think it's also important to be clear about what your needs are for whatever software you're using, whatever data you're collecting, and plan with the future in mind. So what are the tools that you're using now? But what's also the strategic direction for your organization? Are those tools in line with that direction? At Girl Trek, you know, we knew once we reached 1 million, we were going to be looking at, we told our membership that we were going to take a pause and really evaluate our direction and come back with them with a different plan. And so that's where our goal to increase life expectancy by 10 years in 10 years came in. And so part of that is we needed to plan when we were looking at our technology, we needed to make sure we planned for that growth, planned technology that could support that mission. Mm-hmm. And that's that new strategic direction. Also, I think an important piece of this is that, is it clean? Is the data clean? Is the technology clean? And what's your strategy for keeping it clean? I think that's always difficult for nonprofits. Girl Trek, yes, is not an exception. And so, you know, it's something that we continue to work on, but having an eye for that, it's key.
That's really great. I do think that I love what you said about data for data's sake is not effective. So many organizations just collect so much data and throw it in spreadsheets or have it in their CRM or their, you know, member management software, and they don't really have a plan for how they're going to use it and how they're going to leverage it. But Marcy, I want to talk about another tactic that Girl Trek uses, the social media and storytelling element, which of course are my two favorite things. So we can't escape that. How does Girl Trek create their social media strategy? I know that's a big question, but What are some of the ways that they're looking to use social media to engage their members?
Well, really, we use our social media, as you said, to tell stories because, yes. You know, it's so easy to just, you know, post what's popular or follow trends. But sometimes we don't need to just follow the trends. We need to make sure that we're telling stories that actually resonate with our members and the things that we're trying to accomplish. So one of the things that we do, we use a whole lot of user sourced photographs and things like that.
That's great.
We have like over 60 Facebook groups, which, you know, can be a bear to manage sometimes. Mm-hmm. But what we're able to do is utilize a lot of those photos and some of the stories that the members are telling. And we just take those stories and retell those stories, whether it be through video formats, and reels and things of that nature, or creating static posts, or even including their stories in some of the newsletters that we put out. So that's really how we look to centralize our stories and make sure that it's not just, you know, the 20 members of the team or the staff, but it's also the people that are actually out there doing the work. And they, you know, it's kind of like word of mouth advertising. So that's a good way for us to be able to get people involved and engaged. And that's something that we really focus on.
Is there a formal process for sort of collecting and, you know, almost cataloging this user-generated content? Or is it really kind of just as you go?
At the moment, it's kind of as we go because, you know, every week, you know, every day, really, we, as China mentioned, we focus on Saturdays as a time for women to get together. But really, women are walking 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
So we go throughout the week and we look for those compelling photos, those compelling stories. And it's kind of as we find them. But of course, we are always looking for ways to streamline that process as well. Because as I mentioned, with over a million members and just 60 groups that we're aware of women posting things and sharing things, it can be a lot sometimes to curate all of that. But that is the way that we really work towards making sure, as I said, that the story includes everyone and it's not just a singular story.
Right. I think the challenge a lot of nonprofits have is getting those kinds of stories from their members. Do you have any tips on how to encourage people to be collecting these stories?
One thing is to tell our own stories, of course,
yes.
And to just also ask, could you tell us, you know, in that call to action, you know, we're walking this weekend. Are you walking too? Share your photo, those sorts of things, just to really let them know that we want to know what they're talking about. And also for them to know that it's safe to share, because I think sometimes people might feel like, oh no, I shouldn't share or things like that. You know, and when it comes to telling like really personal stories where we're including people's names and things like that, we do get their permission. We don't just arbitrarily, you know, share people's personal stories. But if it's a situation where it's just a good group photo or something like that, you know, we encourage that. And quite honestly, when we do that, people love it because then they can share me. Oh, look, Girl Trek saw me this week. Or, oh, look, they featured us this week. So people, we're really blessed in that the women don't mind having their stories told and that, you know, it's something that they look forward to seeing themselves in that way.
I love that. So the stories of empowerment also empower them, but really empower other women to say, oh, if she can do it, I can do it. Or, you know, if my neighbors are doing it, then I can do it too. And I love that people are just forming Facebook groups around this mission. And it doesn't seem like it's coming from the top down. It's really coming from a lot of it's coming from the members, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah, Julie, I wanted to add one thing. And I think Marcy said this a little bit. We really ask at almost every single engagement point. I think that's one beautiful thing that Girl Trek does well. Our founders share their stories. They're open. They're transparent. And it really sets a tone. And then in newsletters, in podcasts, we have callers call in. We're always checking our hashtag Girl Trek on social media. I mean, I think there's just so many points where women feel seen because it's a two-way conversation instead of us telling them about what's going on. And I think that's key to keep women sharing stories because they know that those stories are being seen and heard and valued.
Creating that culture of storytelling and that transparency is so important. And I love what you just said, China, about making it systematic, like being proactive about collecting the stories at every different engagement point rather than just hoping the stories will materialize, hoping that they will come to you. So being strategic and proactive is so important. And you manage China data and impact management, just speaking of being proactive. So while we're on the topic maybe of data and like how do we use all of this like information kind of flying at us, I know a lot of organizations are interested in sort of conducting needs assessments and maybe doing research on, I don't want to say competitors, maybe potential collaborators, other nonprofits doing similar work. So what advice do you have on a nonprofit that wants to maybe conduct a needs assessment to try to figure out how to manage all these moving pieces?
The first thing I would say is do it.
Yeah, just do it. Done's better than perfect. That is my motto.
I think sometimes it's tempting to skip it, that step and just jump into implementation and things like that. It's worth the due diligence of doing a needs assessment. And then the first step in that, I would say, is really just talk to your team. What do people need? And I mean everybody. Have those conversations, because when you're centralizing your data, when you're looking at systematizing things, there are needs that you're just not aware of. I had lots of conversations when we were trying to figure out the right route to go with centralizing our data and what that needed to look like and what were the needs, what needs needed to be met for people on our team so we could understand the kind of technology that we should implement. And so that was a huge piece of figuring out the right direction. And then I would also say, understanding and keeping in mind your strategic direction, just really knowing where your organization is going and being in the room for those conversations so you can evolve your strategy along the way are the two biggest pieces of advice that I have.
No, that's so important. And just being strategic, having a clear understanding of what you're going to be using this data for and how you're going to go forward. And it seems that all of these pieces are fitting together for GirlTrek, because there's so many different engagement points. China, or maybe Marcy, both of you, can you talk about all of these different engagement points? So we call them engagement points, right? Because we're like data nerds, but it's more about events. You do a lot of different things. There's a lot of different ways that you keep your members engaged continually. It's not just like sign up here, here's our newsletter. Can you talk more about some of the ways that you really work hard to keep your members engaged throughout the year, not just on Saturdays, like you were saying?
We do a lot of different types of walking challenges. That's one of the things that we do.
People love challenges. That's true.
People love challenges. Like saying, hey, we're going to do this 21-day walking challenge, or we're going to do a self-care challenge, or whatever the case may be. So we do offer challenges to our members. Currently, on the first Saturdays, we're doing a Sisterhood Saturday Walk and Talk, which is an opportunity for the members of our organization to come in and just talk, get on the line. If they're feeling a certain thing, they can come on the line with Morgan and Vanessa, our co-founders, and just have really good conversations with them for like an hour on a Saturday morning. We do our localized groups, as I mentioned. That's another good engagement point where we can go in and give them challenges within their cities or just connect with them and let them know what's going on within the community to keep them involved.
I would just add that keeping in mind consistency. So of course at GirlTrek, we are innovative and we're always offering new things. But I think one thing that we've really seen success with is our program called Black History Bootcamp, which is a podcast that engages around 200,000 people, are part of our newsletter, and more than that, listen to the podcast. And so really having that consistent offering, and that allows us to really build in some of that behavior change. We're asking people to walk for 21 out of 30 days, and it builds an independent practice and some of that community. And so I would say that's a big engagement point for our organization, in addition to those walks on the ground.
Oh, I love that. And you communicate with your members pretty frequently. Marcy, what is the sort of cadence of communication and what are some of the channels that you use?
Well, twice a week on Mondays and Fridays, there are emails that go out from the founders that, you know, speak to different things that are either happening in the community, or sometimes it's just storytelling. So that is one way of engagement that we do twice a week. And then, of course, on our social channels, which right now we're primarily using Instagram and Facebook, we do post pretty much every day. there's something that we're sharing, whether it's photos of women from around the community or special things that are going on, or as China mentioned, if we're in the middle of a Black History Boot Camp, which to date we've done 7 seasons of that 21-day walking challenge, that will encourage people to come on and do those challenges and things of that nature. So yes, we look at all kinds of ways to reach out. Sometimes it is something that's just fun. You know, if it's posting somebody who is surfing, for example, Black woman surfing, because we all, even though we walk, and we start out by teaching women and sharing with women the importance of getting out and walking 5 days a week for 30 minutes each time, we are also doing other things as well. And we like to show the diversity of some of the things that we are doing for the purpose of improving our health.
I think it's important what you just said, that you share other stories focused on this health justice mission. So if you can't walk, maybe there's something else you like to do. Like maybe you want to do surfing or yoga, or maybe, you know, there's other ways to have this community and to work on your fitness. And I think that's important, because what a lot of nonprofits struggle with is figuring out that sort of thread that ties their whole community together, ties all their different audiences together. But I think Girl Trek has really found it with that sense of getting healthy. I mean, this is a form of social justice, and it's a form of creating community. So I appreciate that. So how did you decide to focus on, I love the streamlining, by the way, email, Facebook, Instagram. I love that. How did you decide to just focus on these particular channels?
Well, the emails has been something that have gone on for quite a while. That's really consistent. Social media has, but of course, with some of the things going on with, I won't say the social media platform, but we're all aware.
Yeah. Well, it's probably called something different.
You know, and this year we decided to kind of lean away from that particular one because of all the changes that are going on. Mm-hmm. And we just find that a lot of our community is just engaging more when it comes to Facebook, because a lot of our audience is, you know, more mature women. And we know that that is where people are on Facebook. Instagram allows us to continue to communicate with them, also to be able to connect with influencers and other people who are in that Instagram space. And here, as of late, we are looking to work more with college-age students. So we have a person on our team who is creating content for the college-age students and is including TikTok in that as well. So those are like our 3 main ones at this time, but you know, of course, we also have a YouTube channel where we do have things that we post and share there as well. And we are looking to expand that within the coming year with more of that educational, informational type of content.
Can I just...
Oh, wow. I love that.
I want to add for, you know, some of the reasoning behind those platforms specifically are so driven by what we know Girl Trek is really good at. We are an organization that we've always focused on. We've always understood that a part of our brand was retelling the narrative of what Black joy looks like and showing the women of our organization, our members, and putting those visual images first. And so having something, a platform like Instagram, gives us a lot of power to be able to do that. And a platform like Facebook groups has allowed a place for our women to really almost organically organize themselves and create community and continue to foster that sisterhood. And Marcy has done a wonderful job this year of bringing in, of course, all of the admin pieces that you need to manage that, but continuing to really just foster what's already there. And so I think some of the, and for our newsletter, you know, our founders, a big important part of this was for them telling their story as friends, as women, and being really transparent. And so those platforms really lend to those strengths.
Do what you do best. This is something that I teach a lot. So, right, if you are, first of all, go where your audience is and, you know, where they congregate, and then do what you do best, and then don't overthink it. I love that. And I really appreciate the fact that the founders write the email, share their own stories. I think that's so personal and so helpful in building a community, rather than just having a newsletter with, you know, 50 stories, but you don't know who wrote them, and it's written like, you know, a newspaper. So I think that's really fantastic. And also, I love that, the idea of a podcast. This is something I'm trying to get more organizations into. So you did talk a little bit, Chyna, about the Black History Bootcamp podcast. Maybe you can expand upon sort of how that came to be. And then the second piece of this question is for digital communication managers, people out there that are desperate to try something new, what are some tips you both have on convincing the higher ups to try something like this without that immediate sort of like, oh, we know that this will result in $50,000 of donations XYZ. So how to convince people to do something new?
Yeah, those are great questions. Just to talk a little bit about Black History Bootcamp, like I said, we started it during the pandemic. I think the concept of walk and talk, or, you know, our founders getting on Zoom and having people call in, that was always a part of Girl Trek. It was always a part of something that we've done. I think taking it to a new level with the podcast was a really important part of expanding reach and centering Black stories, especially at that time. You know, 2020 was such a pivotal moment. People were looking for stories, Black stories to enrich their lives. We're looking to understand what was going on around them in the world, and also had, you know, we all hit pause collectively together, and we're trying to understand the world a little bit. And I think that Black History Bootcamp really leaned into that, having the educational stories brought in, bringing in centering Black stories, but also still having the personal sisterhood touch really allowed for that. Marcy, did you have anything to add?
Yes, I would say the other thing that makes Black History Bootcamp so powerful is the fact that through the telling of these stories, it gives us an opportunity to pay homage to the women and the men that we are kind of following in their footsteps, because Girl Trek does walk as part of like that civil rights legacy. Of course, we mentioned Harriet Tubman earlier on. We know that she walked to freedom. But then there are a whole lot of civil rights activists who also use walking and marching as a form to get out and just tell their stories or to fight for freedom or justice and all those things. So it really does align with the work that Girl Trek does as a health justice organization. We're kind of taking what those forefathers and foremothers did and taking it to another level. So in telling their stories, it also informs the story of the Brings It.
So the second part of the question, and Marcy, actually, I'd love to hear your viewpoint first. Where should like a nonprofit start if they want to implement some of these fantastic communication channels? Like emailing twice a week, I know for a lot of my organizations listening, they're thinking, oh my gosh, twice a week is way too much. Oh my gosh, posting once a day is too much, or a podcast. How do we convince people that, you know, maybe more communication is necessary, and how do we convince the higher ups to take a risk when doing this communication?
Well, I would say start where you are, and you've already kind of said it. Don't try to do everything all at once. You know, look at your community, look at what it is that you want your community to know, and then figure out the best way to take what you want them to know and the skill set that you have within your organization, and figure out the best place to really begin telling those stories. And it could be, it might be one post a day and maybe one email a week. Or, you know, another thing sometimes that we have done a program called Daughters Of, where it's live conversations, where it's video, where you can just bring somebody in and have a live video conversation, or do it on IG or whatever. So, I mean, they're just, we're in a space and time where there are so many different options. So I guess the biggest thing is to figure out what you want people to know, where your zone of genius is, so to speak, and then begin to work from there and, you know, build out and add on from there.
Do you have anything to add, any advice, Chyna?
Sure. I think, you know, an important part, people don't want to just read something. I think they want to engage all of their senses. They want to, of course, see something visually, hear it. And even with our newsletters, one of our founders has started recording her newsletters. So I think it's just taking risks and being innovative and doing something that perhaps engages people in new ways, unsuspecting ways, that really pulls people into the journey.
So where can people find out more about Girl Trek and join, and what does it take to become a member?
Okay, yes, you can follow us at www.girltrek.org. And once you go to that website, it will show you all the things that you need to know about the history of Girl Trek. There's a space where you can actually join and be counted in the number as a Trekker, where you can find out where, when and where we're hosting some of our great events and all of that information, of course. Then there's IG, Instagram, which is just Girl Trek, GIRLTREK. And then we're also available on Facebook at Girl Trek Healthy Black Women and Girls. I know that's long, but if you just start typing in Girl Trek, it'll pop up. So those are the three main spaces that you can follow us. Mm-hmm. And then if you really want to dive into our 7 seasons of our Webby Award-winning podcast, Black History Bootcamp, you can just go to www.blackhistorybootcamp.com.
Fantastic. I'll post all of those links in the show notes. I'll also post a link to the co-founder's TED Talk. There's a fantastic blog post, a case study about how Girl Trek uses every action and mobilize, how you use technology to accomplish your mission. You were also in Vogue and NPR and Today, and I'll post all the links in the show notes. It's just fantastic. Thank you both so much for everything you do, but thank you both for coming on the podcast and sharing this with my audience.
Thank you, Julia. Thanks for having
us. Thank you for having me.
Well, hey there. I wanted to say thank you for tuning into my show and for listening all the way to the end. If you really enjoyed today's conversation, make sure to subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast app, and you'll get new episodes downloaded as soon as they come out. I would love if you left me a rating or a review, because this tells other people that my podcast is worth listening to. And then me and my guests can reach even more earbuds and create even more impact. So that's pretty much it. I'll be back soon with a brand new episode. But until then, you can find me on Instagram at JuliaCampbell77. Keep changing the world, you nonprofit unicorn.